Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Welcome to the Summer 2017 Listener Support Campaign. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. We've got a pretty nice series of programs scheduled for Sunday during the Listener Support Campaign, and we'll tell you about that in a minute. I won't go into big overarching state of the show conversations in this episode, just because folks don't listen to Sunday specials as much as they do the weekday shows. But I will highlight a couple of things. As always, you can support the show either on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net for a one-time basis. And we've added an additional option, and that is you can support the show now through using Zelle. Zelle is a service that's been set up by several of the larger banks as a peer-to-peer money transfer service. And you can use that to send money to me through the listener for the listener support campaign. If your bank has Zelle, just send it to Adam Graham and put the email address box13@greatdetectives.net and I'll get it. And this is a nice option just because it does make sure more of your donation actually gets to me, because if you go through PayPal, there's a processing fee. However, if your bank doesn't have Zelle or you don't want to use that, then they use the PayPal as well. You can also mail in a donation, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. And you can also become a recurring, ongoing supporter of the program at patreon.greatdetectives.net. And when we do get into the heart of the campaign, we'll have a focus of either the Patreon or the one-time donation each episode, so we're not confusing things too much. Though we'll mention the others kind of an FYI. Now, I won't go into all the details about changes to the rewards for the one-time donation right now, but there are a couple things I'll highlight after the show, so be sure and listen to that. All right, well, and I put out a request for advice from our Patreon supporters. I had, I think, a couple different people mention wanting to hear us revisit the John Stanley Sherlock Holmes series. We didn't do that back in February, but it occurred to me that there was actually a three-part story that they did on that John Stanley Sherlock Holmes series, and that would be ideal for the listener support campaign, one for each of the Sundays of the campaign. So let's take a listen to the first part of this story. The original air date is March the 21st of 1949, and this one is The Elusive Agent, Part 1.
From New York City, the makers of Clipper Craft Clothes for Men and more than 1,200 leading retail stores from coast to coast present that immortal character created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the world's most famous detective, Sherlock Holmes, starring John Stanley. This week's story, The Adventure of the Elusive Agent.
Holmes, the quarry we followed from the docks went into that room off this corridor here.
Right, Watson.
What are we waiting here for? Why don't we just go in?
Patience, Watson, patience. We cannot precipitate ourselves into a trap on sheer impulse.
Holmes, great Scott!
Quick, Watson, into that room. The trap is sprung. We must get to the victim.
We're at the door of Dr. John Watson's study, and we're about to hear another of his adventures with the fabulous Sherlock Holmes.
Well, good evening, Mr. Harris.
Good evening, Dr. Watson. You have a memoir for us tonight, I hope?
I have indeed, Mr. Harris. In fact, I had just finished editing it when you came in. I might say that this particular adventure is of first-rank importance, not only in the life of my friend Holmes, but on the course of history itself. The stakes were the highest, and on the outcome hinged the issue of empire itself. In no other adventure that I can recall were our protagonists more ruthless, more shrewd, and more cruel.
Sounds like you've got a treat for us tonight. What do you call it, Dr. Watson?
Well, Holmes and I always refer to it as the adventure of the elusive agent. And after you have enlightened our audience to the merits of Clippercraft clothes, Mr. Harris, I shall proceed with this highly unusual story.
Today, it's official. It's spring. Time for you, Mr. Man, to get a new spring suit and a new spring topcoat. Make sure you get Clippercraft. Clippercraft, the best clothes you can buy for the money. Beautiful new spring all-wool worsted Clippercraft suits, only $45. Clippercraft all-wool gabardine or covert topcoats, only $40 to $47.50. Clippercraft clothes make you look your best because they look like they cost much, much more. Get your Clippercraft spring outfit tomorrow. Now, Dr. Watson, what about the adventure of the elusive agent?
Well, Mr. Harris, it began in 1913. This was a year when Holmes's brother, now Sir Mycroft Holmes, had publicly achieved the post of minister at large at Whitehall, but secretly conducted the affairs of British intelligence. 1913, I might add, was a year of international tension, notably between Britain and Germany, which a year later culminated in the First World War. It was behind the shadowy scenes of espionage that this adventure first began. And specifically, it began one dark night on the Berlin Express, plunging northward from Budapest toward the German capital. There was a knock on a compartment door.
Yeah, who is it? Who's there?
The train inspector, Herr Malone.
What is it? What do you want?
I have a telegram for you, Herr Meiner.
Oh, one moment. I don't... Ton of it. You're not...
Don't make a sound, Miller. Get back in that compartment of yours. Get back, I said, or I'll blow your head off. Now, that's better, my friend. Much better.
So, you're an Englishman. What do you want?
The plans, mein Herr.
Plans? I do not know what you're talking about.
Don't you, Herr Miller? Then listen. Last night in Budapest, you knifed an Englishman in the back. Took a waterproof packet of papers from him. You're on your way to deliver them to the Wilhelmstrasse in Berlin now. Hand them over. Be quick about it.
You'll never get those plans, you swine.
Sorry, Herr Miller, but I must have them now.
No.
Yes, I must have them. Yes, Herr Miller.
Congratulations, my dear Norton. You've done an excellent job in intercepting that German agent and returning these pals to our embassy here in Berlin.
Thank you, Sir Mycroft.
Unfortunately, our problem has only begun, my dear boy. These plans are of the highest importance, and we must get them out of Germany and back to Whitehall at once. Now, you understand, these are the originals, the only copies of the plans in existence. They were stolen by this German agent you intercepted from the inventor himself before he was able to get them to the War Office, and we could have copies made.
But I understand you're returning to London tonight, are you not, Sir Mycroft?
I am, but I cannot take the plans with me.
No? Why not, sir?
Ostensibly, I am Sir Mycroft Holmes, British Minister without portfolio, here on official business. Actually, I'm here to see that these plans get back to London, and the Wilhelmstrasse knows it.
I see.
I have been watched every step of the way. The Germans have revoked our former privilege and will examine all diplomats of the customs. And we can't risk relaying the data to Whitehall by code on the chance that the Germans may already have broken it. It will be a dangerous and delicate mission to smuggle them out of Germany in... One moment. One moment, my boy. By Jove, I believe I have it.
Yes, sir?
I recall reading in the newspapers that you are to marry a British subject here in Berlin by the name of Miss Pamela Rivers.
That's right, Sir Mycroft.
And, if I remember, you are to be married this Saturday and will return to England for your honeymoon.
Yes, sir, those are our intentions.
Yes, I'm sure it will work. Philip Norton, British attaché, takes bride, honeymoons in England. Excellent, excellent. Very romantic, innocuous in purpose, not calculated to arouse suspicion.
Sir, I don't understand.
Norton, my boy, marry your girl. Take your bride to England with you. And take something else in addition.
Yes, Sir Mycroft. What?
The plans, Norton. The plans.
Darling, darling Philip. Oh, it all seems like a wonderful dream.
Does it, Pam?
Yes, Philip, yes. I'm glad we didn't dance that last dance. I'm glad we came up on deck here together. Just the two of us alone. I think I'll always remember this moment, Philip. This moment of our honeymoon. I'll always remember what the music was playing and how the moon shone up there in the sky and the lights of England of home shining over there on the shore.
So will I, Pam. So will I.
Philip.
Yes, darling.
Put your arms around me. Hold me close.
Pam.
Closer, darling, closer. That's it. Oh, darling, darling, Philip, kiss me. Now, tell me that you love me.
I love you, Pam. I love you, I love you.
Do you really, darling?
Pam, what...
Surprise, darling?
Pam, you've got a knife. You just...
Yes, you English swine, and you're going to feel the blade again. Now, my dear departed bridegroom, the plans. Ah, yes, here in your coat pocket, as I thought. Now, if I can roll you overboard through the opening in this rail... There! Over you go. Goodbye, my romantic darling. And thanks for the wedding present. The porthole. Gustav should be below in a small boat. That was the arrangement. Gustav! Gustav, are you there?
Ja, Fräulein. You have the plans?
Yes.
Throw them down to me through the porthole.
Here you are.
Thank you, Fräulein. That swine Norton. So he thought he could smuggle the plans.
One moment, Gustav. Only half the plans are there. I have the other half.
But what is the meaning of this?
It means that the half I have is for sale.
I see. But the Herr Director has paid you well.
Tell your master if he wants the rest of these plans, he will have to be more generous. You understand, Gustav?
Very well, I shall tell him. And when you come ashore, Fräulein, we shall be waiting for you at the rendezvous. Auf Wiedersehen.
So, young Norton disappeared while the Oceania lay at quarantine in Southampton, eh, Mycroft?
Yes, Sherlock. I'm sorry to have roused you and Dr. Watson here in the dead of night on a mission you never anticipated, but we have impounded the passengers and crew of the vessel at Southampton for questioning, and we need your talents desperately now. Indeed, if the plans are not recovered, the life of England and of the Empire itself are in jeopardy.
Sounds like a formidable affair, I must say.
Quite. But, my dear Mycroft, since we are to become involved with these plans, it might be helpful to know something of their nature.
These papers, 10 in all, were the designs of a new weapon, Sherlock. A kind of land monster built to revolutionize modern warfare. In short, an armor-plated mobile vehicle we call a tank.
A tank, eh? By Jove, Holmes, this sounds like something out of Jules Verne.
Yes, it does indeed, Watson.
Sherlock, I beg of you to bend every effort to the recovery of those plans, to use every facet of your genius to track them down.
Now, be of good cheer, Mycroft. It's my opinion that the plans have already been spirited from the Oceania, but it may not yet be too late. If I get aboard, I shall have some pertinent questions to ask.
Whom will you begin with, Holmes?
Since it's the bridegroom who's missing, my dear Watson, I shall obviously begin with the bride. Now, Mrs. Norton, exactly what happened after you and your husband had gone to the upper deck of the vessel here?
It was a little chilly. I asked Philip to wait for a moment. I left him alone, went down to my cabin to get a wrap. When I returned, he was gone.
And after you searched the boat and couldn't find him, you notified the captain, eh?
Yes, Dr. Watson, yes. Mr. Holmes, I can't answer any more questions, not now. Philip, my husband, he's gone. I loved him so, now he's gone.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Norton. I realize what a strain you've been under, and there's no need to detain you any longer. You are at liberty to retire to your cabin now.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. Thank you very much.
Oh, the juice, Holmes. I must confess, I found it a heartbreaking experience. Watch this poor girl.
Did you, Watson?
Eh? What do you mean?
I mean that the woman lied.
What?
Come, Watson, it's painfully obvious. She distinctly said that she went down to get her wrap, did she not?
Well, yes. Yes, she did. But what is...
Consider, my dear fellow, if you were a bridegroom on your honeymoon and in a chivalrous mood, would you allow your bride to go to the trouble of getting her own wrap?
Well, I... No. No, dashed if I would.
Precisely. You would not. No man would.
Watson.
Yes, Holmes?
Notify the authorities to allow all passengers to disembark.
Yes, but Holmes, you haven't questioned any of the others.
I don't think it will be necessary, Watson. Time is too short and we must gamble at long odds. From now on, we shall concentrate all our energies on following the bereaved bride.
Now, with your permission, we're going to transport Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson from England to America for a few moments. They are in a typical American city.
Oh, I say, Holmes, that's a very successful-looking chap standing there, isn't it? A banker, would you say?
Not at all, my dear Watson. He is not a man of wealth or position, but a man of extremely good taste. He looks successful because he succeeded in finding an excellent tailor.
Well, then he's an athlete, wouldn't you say?
At first glance, yes. But I'm quite sure that his broad shoulders and tapering waist are really the results of excellent clothing design.
Well, then he must be wealthy to afford such a splendid tailor. To see what beautiful fabric is in his suit.
Oh, my dear Watson, you're obviously unfamiliar with the American way of life. That man to whom you refer is wearing a Clippercraft suit, which, if I'm not mistaken, sells for only $45.
But how?
Well, you see, Watson, some 1,200 retail merchants all over America have pooled their tremendous buying power to make these really extraordinary Clippercraft values possible.
Yes, but
don't interrupt, Watson. As a symbol of the honest New England quality and value of Clippercraft clothing, they have adopted the name Clippercraft in emulation of the famous New England Clipper ships and the modern aircraft of the same name. These are synonymous with New England quality.
Oh, I see. But tell me, Holmes, how did you recognize that chap as the wearer of a Clippercraft suit?
Elementary, my dear Watson. He's the best-dressed man in sight.
How right you are, Sherlock Holmes. The best-dressed man in sight, the successful-looking man, is the man who wears a Clippercraft suit. Yet Clippercraft new spring suits cost only $45, and Clippercraft gabardine and covert topcoats only $40 to $47.50. See the new Clippercraft spring styles tomorrow. Clippercraft clothes are sold by your local store, whose business it is to give you honest value. That's why men who know insist on Clippercraft clothes bearing the Clippercraft label. So be sure to visit the Clippercraft store in your city.
These leading stores in the metropolitan area are proud to add their names to Clippercraft in your suits and topcoats. In Manhattan, John Wanamaker's Men's Stores, Broadway at 8th and 67 Liberty Street, Saks 34th, Broadway at 34th. In Brooklyn, Abram and Strauss. In Newark, New Jersey, Boulevard Men's Shop, Kresge Newark. And in Jamaica, the B&B Clothes Shop, 16408 Jamaica Avenue.
Now, Dr. Watson, you were relating to us the adventure of the elusive agent.
So I was, Mr. Harris, so I was. Our task, as Holmes had explained, was to keep the bereaved bride, Mrs. Philip Norton, under our watchful surveillance. And this on the theory that she might lead us to the stolen plans for the new British armored monster named the Tank. We saw her take the train to London, and we followed. Then at London, she took the underground, and we followed, keeping out of sight in the next car. And finally, she emerged at the suburban station of Golders Green. Oh, she went into this house. I believe I saw someone admit her to that door there in the corridor.
Yes, quite. We shall wait here for her to emerge, Watson.
Yes, but why? Why don't we just go in?
Patience, my dear man, patience. Our belief is that Mrs. Norton did not see us shadowing her, but we cannot be sure. She's shrewd, my dear fellow, a consummate actress and no fool. For all we know, this may be a trap. You have your service revolver with you, Watson?
Yes, I've got it right here.
Good. Better have it ready, my dear fellow. In a very short time, you may have occasion to use it.
So you have already come to see us, Frau Norton.
I do not wish to be caught Frau any longer, Gustav. The Bockery is over and that fool Norton is dead.
As you wish, Fräulein.
Where's your master? As you know, we have a business appointment.
The Herr Director has delegated me to represent him in these negotiations.
Very well. I have half the plans. Your master has the other half. With that one portion, the other portion is useless. How much am I bid, Gustav?
The Herr Director is inclined to be generous. You have already been well paid, but he realizes there are certain expenses. He's willing to pay you £10,000 on receipt of your half the plan.
£10,000?
It is a handsome sum, my dear, to pay a blackmailer.
It's a pittance. The answer is no. The price is £50,000.
Oh, you must be mad with grief.
£50,000, my dear Gustav. I know what those designs are worth. Price is low and of no consequence to the organization you represent. Consider what the British would pay for those papers. Well, Gustav?
I am empowered to go as high as 20,000 pounds. That is my final offer.
50,000, and that is my final offer.
You have the papers with you?
I have. Oh, but don't think you can take them from me by violence, Gustav, and remove me for good. It really wouldn't be worth it, you know. I have a trusted friend in London, and he has a sealed letter. In this letter is all the information I possess concerning the German espionage ring, not only on the continent, but in England, too. You understand?
Yeah, Fräulein, I understand.
And finally, the letter contains the identity of the ringleader himself, Gustav. You are master and mine. In the event of my disappearance, my friend is to mail this letter to the chief of British intelligence at Whitehall. The price is still 50,000 pounds, Gustav.
Perhaps you had better talk to the head director personally, my dear Fräulein. He's in the next room, and I will summon him. The director of the Fräulein is here. Will you talk to her?
Naturally. And I'm sure we shall come to some conclusions. Good evening, Fräulein. So considerate of you to visit our little hideaway, far out here in Goldesprit. I understand you've named a price for those plans.
50,000 pounds.
It's a little high, my dear. May I make a counter-offer?
What is it?
This. Simple. Hey, Gustav? The ideal way to make a bargain. Quick, efficient, ruthless. And so we bid farewell to the bride.
But, Herr Director, the letter she wrote to her
friend... Don't take me for a fool, Gustav. Both the friend and the letter were destroyed long before she arrived in England. Huh? I have in my agents honeycombing this foul and miserable island for nothing. Quick now, search her for the plan.
Yeah,
open up! Open the door!
They've got it locked.
Herr Director, it's Sherlock Holmes. He's followed her here.
Yes, quick, Gustav, out the back way.
But the plan.
There's no time now. Above all, we cannot afford to be seen. Quick,
hold the lock off with your pistol, Watson.
Yes, right, Holmes. Yes, you know, Holmes, the beggar's got away over the garden walls. Well, Holmes, you got the plans, eh?
Yes, Watson. They were on Mrs. Norton's body here. Unfortunately, however, we have only half the packet.
Half?
Quite. Only 5 designs are here, and you'll recall Mycroft told us there were 10 in all.
Yes, but the other 5, where could they be?
No doubt in the hands of the ruthless agents who just shot Mrs. Norton here. Might very well have been that she came here with the idea of selling them, and... Watson.
Yes, Holmes?
You detect a faint odor of tobacco in this room?
Tobacco?
Yes.
Yes, Holmes. Come to think of it, I do.
Interesting scent, Watson. Very.
What do you mean? This smells like ordinary tobacco to me.
On the contrary, this one's a rare and very unusual blend.
Yes? Well, what?
It's a cross mixture, Watson. The base is a strong and heavy perique, tempered with a bit of burley, and more than just a touch of Euphrates yellow leaf grown in the river valleys of eastern Turkey. Only one expert in London or in all of England would create a mixture like this. Grimsby.
Grimsby?
Grimsby, the tobacconist. He specializes in these rare and exotic blends. He owns a little hole in the wall in Soho.
Well, by Jove, Holmes, we can go there and ascertain who ordered this blend, eh?
Precisely. But one thing is sure, my dear fellow. One thing is certain. Now that we possess half the plans, our constant companion is danger. And we are marked men. So you did mix that blend I described, Grimsby.
Yes, yes, Mr. Holmes, I did. I most certainly did. A very unusual formula, very unique. I made it at the purchaser's own request, of course.
And who was this purchaser, Grimsby?
Well, now it was a foreign gentleman named Marco, sir, Amy Marco.
Marco, eh? Could you describe him to us?
Oh, yes, Mr. Holmes. He had a most unusual face, one that you wouldn't soon forget. A tall man he was, sir, very fastidiously dressed with a thin face, somewhat like a hatchet. But it was his mouth you'd notice anywhere.
Yes? What about his mouth?
And now, Dr. Watson, it had a sort of unfortunate twitch at the corner every now and then, a very annoying habit, to be sure.
Yes, quite. Would you know where this Emil Marco lived, Grimsby?
Yes, Mr. Holmes, I would. I had a messenger deliver a tin of his tobacco mixture to him. He's staying at the Barclay Hotel.
I say, there, room clerk.
Yes, gentlemen, what can I do for you?
We're looking for a gentleman named Marco, Emil Marco. What room did he occupy?
Why, he did occupy a suite on the third floor, sir.
Did? You mean he's left?
Oh, yes, sir, he left only this morning.
Would you know his destination from here?
Yeah, let's see, Marco, Emil Marco.
Now think, it's of the utmost importance that you remember.
Well, one moment, I do remember.
Yes, where did he go?
I recall his luggage was routed for the Hotel Metropole in Paris. I remember it from the label.
Hotel Metropole in Paris. Come, Watson, there's no time to lose.
Operator, give me City 923. Yes. Are you there? This is Bradley at the Barclay. The gentlemen were here. They found out about Marco and they're trading him to Paris. Yes, sir. I told them where they could find him myself.
Well, Dr. Watson, you've got us sitting on the edge of the box. Chairs, what happened next in Paris?
Patience, my dear Mr. Harris, patience. Next week I shall go on with the adventure of the elusive agent. I can only tell you that from here on events move forward with breathtaking speed. That we walked in the midst of a strange espionage plot, met some ruthless and deadly persons, and almost lost our lives. And so until next week at the same time, Mr. Harris, I shall say good night.
The makers of Clippercraft clothes and more than 1,200 stores from coast to coast have brought you another in the new series of broadcasts featuring the world's most famous detective, Sherlock Holmes. Our stories are based upon the character Sherlock Holmes created by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and the program is produced and directed by Basil Lochran. Sherlock Holmes is played by John Stanley, Dr. Watson by George Spelvin. This week's story was written by Max Ehrlich, with special music by Albert Berman. If you don't know your Clippercraft dealer, write Clippercraft, 200 Fifth Avenue, New York City. Be sure to listen next week to Sherlock Holmes in part two of The Adventure of the Elusive Agent. Cy Harris speaking for Clippercraft Clothes. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Sherlock Holmes, world's greatest detective and Clippercraft salesman. I don't quite know what to make of that ad spot myself. It's at best a little bit cheesy. The story definitely moves at a really solid clip, and I think the cliffhanger ending does really set our expectation for the next part and for a really exciting adventure. Probably one negative in terms of the story is this does kind of strain credulity a little bit on this being Dr. Watson's memoir. Because, you see, the thing is, if you're telling everything from Watson's perspective, and it's all stuff he could see, that works. If you're telling a bunch of things he had no way of seeing, yeah, that kind of shatters the illusion a little bit. All right, well, a couple of notes on our listener support campaign. We have made some changes to the one-time donations and thank you gifts. If you would like a Colonial Radio Theater audio drama, when you contact me, please be sure to include the email address that's tied to your Apple account, because I can no longer gift them directly from audible.com. And you do actually have a couple of options. If you don't want to get it through iTunes, you can also order a CD version, but those are more expensive. Also, we have a limited number of replica identification badges for classic TV characters. These are replicas of ID cards that were flashed on TV shows. Among them, we have cards for Columbo, Joe Friday, Frank Smith, Pete Malloy, Jim Reed, Bill O'Gannon, and we only have one card for each of them. So if you are, and those are for a donation if you're in the U.S. or Canada of $50 or more. These are on a first come, first serve basis. So if you are interested, let me know when you send it in what your second choice is, whether you'd like another badge or you'd like another product or nothing at all if you don't have a second choice. But again, that's at support.greatdetectives.net. And I will try to cross off names when somebody has donated and claimed a badge. All right, well, we have a great week ahead. One thing you want to be listening for in our listener support campaign is that we announce what new series we'll hear during our 2017-18 season that begins at the end of October. And we will have announcements Monday through Wednesday after the program, so be sure and listen to that. All right, well, join us back here next Sunday for part two of The Elusive Agent, and tomorrow it's Not Beat. Next Tuesday, we begin a series of programs where only one episode exists. Our first one will be Bishop and the Gargoyle. So join us next Tuesday for that. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.